Now let us again seek the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for these accounts of the Saviour, which are true and inspired of God. We pray that through Thy Word we might be encouraged, that we might be challenged, we might be helped to seek our Saviour and receive His life and blessing. Bless the preaching of Thy Word tonight, and not only here, but in every place where it is preached. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. In the Gospels and the Gospel accounts that we read in the Scriptures, we oftentimes find God's people, Christ's followers, to be weak and lacking faith. But that cannot never be said of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, people thought He was weak. People thought that He could not do certain things. But no, Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God. He is able to do all things. And so we find here, my friends, an account of various disciples. And we find these disciples of which we read of, later on we learn of them that they were not always consistent in their following. We are told that on the night that our Savior was arrested, in Mark chapter 14 and verse 50, that they all forsook Him and fled. After the Lord Jesus Christ is arrested, only, it seems, two of His followers followed Him to the home of the high priest. There were John and Peter who went in. And Peter, we are told that he followed the Lord afar off, at a distance. He didn't want to be associated with the Savior. He was filled with fear. Peter would be the one who also denied the Lord that very night. And by the time that the Lord Jesus arrives at Calvary, at the foot of His cross, where He was crucified, only it seems one of His disciples, one of the apostles, was there, John, that our Savior spoke to. After the Savior died on the cross, why did He die? For our sins He died. After He died, His body is removed and is taken to the tomb that was prepared for Him. And that was the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And as darkness fell on that dark, dark day, all of the Lord's disciples are hiding in fear. Their hearts fail them. They are filled with all kinds of fear. They are fearful of the Jews. They are wondering about their future. And what was it that the Savior said? What were all His promises? But when Jesus Christ died and was buried, it seems that not a single one of the men He had called was with Him. Even though the number of the disciples fluctuated from thousands to a handful, there seems to be a group that always were there with Him, always were at hand. Our passage mentions about these dedicated women, this group of women that followed the Savior's ministry. And these women offered Him all kinds of helps, supports, and absolute devotion. They trusted in Him. They had believed that He is the Messiah. In fact, one of these women, Mary Magdalene, seemed to have followed Him everywhere. She's mentioned quite a number of times in the Gospels. She was there during His ministry. She also wept at His feet as He died at Calvary. She followed His body to the tomb and sat outside of his tomb following the Sabbath. And she was the first one to whom he appeared when he arose from the dead. It's a wonderful thing, wonderful account that we read in the Gospels. While others forsook the Savior, this woman remained faithful to him. When others ran away and fled, she stayed and confessed him. What was it that produced this kind of devotion in Mary's life? I think the Bible has the answer to that question. And so we want to very briefly look at Mary Magdalene and what the Lord had done for her, and then relate that to our own lives and see what Christ has power to do even for us. It says in this passage, in verse 2, "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities," that was their condition before, but they had been healed. They had been cleansed. They had these demons thrown out of them, their infirmities, their illnesses, that most likely was caused through these demons. It was cast out and they were healed. And so it says that there were these certain women who were there with him, and Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, or seven demons. Out of her went out, was thrown out of her, these seven demons or devils. Can you imagine that? What kind of a life she had? So think about this. What kind of a life she had before the Lord saved her? She must have been a desperate woman. She must have been a desperate woman. A woman who is possessed of these demons. A woman who has these infirmities. You would be desperate. I would be desperate. What a terrible life Mary must have had. What a sad life, you think, and there would be people who would have all kinds of troubles come. And in this world, we have much troubles and tribulations. This is a world that has fallen into sin. But here is this woman. What accounts she could say. What a terrible life she had experienced. She was possessed of seven devils. Some commentators would speak of that, yes, it could mean there were actually seven devils in her. But then there would be some who would say, well, the term seven, it could mean complete. She was completely taken up. She was completely under the power, satanic power, demonic power. All of it is true. What a miserable, uncontrollable life she would have. She would have been drawn into all kinds of things. She would have been falling into all kinds of things. The devil doesn't want our good, my friends. The devil, the scripture says, and the Lord Jesus Christ says that he's the father of lies. So all kinds of lies she would have listened to. The confusion all this would have brought to her. Then also that the Savior says that the devil is a murderer. How she would have been in all kinds of dangers. Driven insane, as it were, by the demons that controlled her. It has been suggested that Mary was a prostitute also, but that has no biblical evidence to support that notion. But what a horrible life, what a terrible life that would have been. Think about it, my friends. Think about all kinds of things that were in her life, a terrible life. But what did Christ do? How did Christ change that terrible life? It caused her to be in her sound mind, in control. Now she was following the Savior. She could think for herself. She could decide for herself. But all of that had been changed from thinking evil thoughts, doing evil things. The disposition, the direction of her heart now was to follow the Savior, to love Him. That's what Christ does. He sets sinners free from all kinds of evil thoughts and wrong ideas and confusions and terrible things in life. It sets our minds and hearts on better things, spiritual things, salvation that He brings to us. I'm not saying that a life of a true believer in Jesus Christ is not going to be, it is going to be an easy thing. No, not at all. Oftentimes it becomes more difficult for a Christian. There are many Christians who will have to pay the price of being a Christian with their life. And I talked to one man, he rang me yesterday, and he said for years his mother has not talked to him. And when he had to flee his country, he went to say goodbye, and his mother said, "I will not speak to you. You're not my son." And you think about that. And he's a Christian. And he said, but this is what we have to bear for being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian's life is not going to be an easy life. No. But the Lord sets us free from the bondage of sin and being under a control of this taskmaster who is worse than Pharaoh. But the gospel of Jesus Christ sets us free and then makes us to be a follower of Christ. So here was her. But then this terrible life also was a hopeless life. Who could help her? Was there anyone who would help her? Did she have any hope, a desire that this will end? No. She had lost all hope. She would have 7 devils in her. She was entrapped in it all. You can think about it. The scriptures, these are the accounts, descriptions about Mary Magdalene. But we can think about it. We can look at other people's lives. You remember that demoniac of Gadara who was amongst the tombs. Again, his case was hopeless. No one had helped him. There was no hope for him outside of Jesus Christ. He was running around naked. And he was howling and weeping. It's a picture of hell. That kind of a life. Hopeless life. And for a sinner like that, for a woman like that, she couldn't get out of it. Think about it. She was cut off from all kinds of help. No one would go near her. No one would touch her. Oh, she's possessed, they would say. You know, as a little boy, there was a lady in this village of my grandparents. She used to live in the end of the village. All the children were scared of her. They used to say she's possessed. The issue was she used to wear always black. And for some reason, but other ladies used to always wear colorful dresses and so on. And for some reason, I remember all kinds of children would say, "Don't go down there, don't go." And they would say all kinds of stories and accounts and myths. And so we were scared. We wouldn't go near. And that gives me a picture of what people would have thought of her. But do you know what happened? One time I did meet her, and she was a lovely lady. That's another thing, another account. But here was this woman. No one would go near her. And she had no access to the temple. She had no access to people who could pray for her. She had no access to anybody to unburden her heart. And the devil wouldn't want to have that, my friends. The devil would bring all kinds of hurdles in her way, all kinds of problems, so that she wouldn't go. She would have no desire to go. She would have all kinds of excuses not to seek the Lord in it all. So what must happen? Oh, the Lord Jesus must go. The Lord Jesus Christ must save her. He is all powerful. He is greater than any demon. The devil himself is cast out, the Bible says. Jesus Christ said that I saw him fall from heaven. But my friends, this woman was without hope, and haven't we been without hope in our lives. Hopeless. What shall I do? There is nothing I can do about this matter, we might say. Oh, if you think like that, the only hope that we have, and the only real hope, true hope, is Jesus Christ. Others might not receive you. Others might shun you. But Christ will never shun us. Christ will always receive us. With Him is hope. And the Scripture says, He is our hope. He is our hope. But also think about this helpless woman. She couldn't do anything for herself. You see, demonic power is strong. She was under the control of demonic spirits. The Scripture speaks about that we do His bidding. She was powerless to change her life. She couldn't cast out these demons. She was trapped and totally helpless in her enslaved and lost condition. Helpless state. Isn't that a picture? A clear picture of sinners. Helpless. Helpless. They seem to be doing the same thing. Falling into the same kind of behaviors and all kinds of things that we think, what shall I do? I can't get out of this. I can't help this. It comes to me so naturally. It seems that my heart runs after these things, thinks after these things. Oh, my friends, this is why we need the Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our help as well as our hope, as well as our peace. He helps us. He's able, you see, His all power and authority that has been given to Him to help the helpless. And that is why He came into this world. And all of these accounts of individuals who were set free, they're pictures, spiritual pictures and lessons that He does the same for all, even today, to this day. The Lord helps those who seek Him. Helps them in salvation. Helps them when they pray. He guides them. He provides for them. He blesses them. When all things go dark, He shines into their lives His word. And He comforts them. And then this woman, her desperate case was changed to deliverance. Deliverance. You see, it says that she had evil spirits, seven of them. She had infirmities. How much infirmities? We do not know, but it says infirmities in plural. More than one thing was wrong with her. Troubles. And it says, out of whom went. Out of whom went. These things went. They were gone. Never to come back again. And they were gone. But who had come? Jesus Christ had come. She had become a follower of the Savior. She had been delivered. But not just be delivered and then left alone. No. She had the Savior now. The Savior would receive her. Jesus Christ would allow her to come with her. How faithful the Lord is. How patient the Lord is. Think about yourself. What if everywhere you went, I would follow you? You just get up. I am there. And then you say, Pastor, what are you doing following me around? You imagine. And you might get quite upset and annoyed. People following you. Hearing you, listening, talking with you, calling to you, asking you things, watching you, copying you. But that's what the Lord Jesus Christ, we could say, had to suffer. But what a joy it was to Him to see these people who have been transformed, who have been saved, they've been set free. This woman, He could say, oh, this woman, think about when I found you. Think about how you've been set free. And those of you who are Christians, you think, how were you when the Lord found you? But she was delivered. And so the Lord delights in followers who will be there all the time, following Him. Don't think the Lord will ever get tired. You might get tired of people following you. But Jesus Christ is different to us. this woman followed her because she was delivered. Many would think that this is the same Mary where after her conversion she went and she broke this alabaster box of ointments and anointed the Lord's body for his suffering and his burial. It may be true, but regardless, there was no reason whatsoever for the Lord Jesus to reach out to this woman like this. Surely there were more reputable, more upright, and decent women who needed the Lord as well. But the fact that the Lord Jesus would reach into this woman's darkness and bring her into his marvelous light and set her free, that's a wonderful thing. It gives all of us hope. If the Lord can do that for this woman, I ask you, do you have seven demons in you? But you say, oh, but I have all these issues. I have all these sins. I am entrapped in all of these things. Well, the Lord can deliver even you. All of these things we can attribute to nothing other than Christ's amazing grace. In fact, had it not been for pure grace, she would have died. She would have been cast away with the demons into the outer darkness, into hell. But the Lord Jesus was not content to let that happen. The Lord had set his eye upon her. The Lord extended his love to her. The mercy of God reached her. The grace of God took her. And Mary was saved. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And so she could say that. This is what I was. I was lost. No one would come near me, but Jesus Christ saved me. She experienced Christ's power in this. You must be powerful to cast out one demon, but Christ cast out seven demons. He even cast out a legion of demons. When the Lord Jesus Christ reached out to this woman and delivered her, she experienced the power of God. A mere man could not do such a thing. She instantly was delivered from that which had bound her. And she was then set free. That is the power that Jesus Christ possesses. When he comes into a life, he makes profound changes. He gives first eternal life that is not taken away from that individual. But then he begins a changing process. Works grace, and by his mercy, he begins to work. He will chisel away. And the Spirit of Jesus Christ works and sanctifies and makes us more and more holy. That's a progressive thing. He makes us see. He will mature us. He produces new creatures or new creations. That's what the Scripture says. Makes us alive. And the result in this woman being set free is that then the Lord Jesus Christ took her as his own. She was a daughter of God. The things that bound her was gone. Knowing this, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And the term that is used there for service is one of bondage of service. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So she died to her old life. And so the result was one of liberty. To redeem them, the Bible says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. To redeem. Jesus Christ redeems. What does the word redeem mean? Most of you know it. Redeem has the meaning of buying back something. And not just buying back something, but setting something free by the price that is paid. It is paying of a debt, paying of a price. It is a, gives you the picture of a slave market and a man who comes in. And he pays the money that is needed to secure the freedom of these slaves. It's a ransom price that is paid. And so forever, they are set free because he has bought them. There was a sale, and this man has redeemed the individuals. And that's what Christ does. And so that's what the scripture says, to redeem them. So she was redeemed. She was bought by Jesus Christ. My friends, that is what Jesus Christ does. He saves by His grace. This slave girl, we could say, slave to these demons, was set free on this spot. She experienced as well the Lord's peace. Think of the confusion. Think how every day it was a tormenting day. Every day she was up and down. Every day her heart would be so full of turmoil and full of worries. What will this day bring forth for me? Is this my last day? Oh, why all these torments? Why all these troubles? Why do I do these things? How can I be set free? What a life she had. But then Christ, by saving her, gave her also peace. She must have had peace. So here is this woman, had received all these blessings. The Lord Jesus Christ said one time, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Is this thing possible? Is it still possible for the Lord to do such a thing? Yes. Is there still confusion? Is there still doubt within you? Well, Christ is the one that we need. Not people, not politicians. Well, in the past days, many people's hearts have been filled with fear, worries, concerns. What will happen? My friends, doesn't the Bible say that Jesus Christ is King of Kings? Don't let your heart be troubled. Whatever the day may bring forth, if the economy crashes, pound becomes of no value at all, what is that to us? The Lord will keep His people. The Lord will provide. The Lord will still be on the throne, and the Lord will still answer prayer. The Lord does not change on all of these things, so do not fear. But if you know Him, then rejoice that you have a Father in heaven that will provide, and tell others about it. It's a time when you see people full of care, tell them about the Lord. Why you are not so worried? Oh yes, you might be affected by these things, but you are not worried about them. It doesn't matter. The Lord has you, and He will provide for you. He will guide you. What we find too, as we close, is that the Lord saved her and made this woman to be a devoted Christian woman. Her life was not changed so that she would carry on and going by herself and establishing her life away from the Lord. No. She was set free and she became a follower of the Lord. She couldn't go away from the Lord. She had to be with Him. She was devoted to Him. She was inseparable. And so notice her devotion to the Savior. It says in verse 3, "And Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto Him." Many others. This, she is counted as one of those women who ministered, who served the Lord. She was devoted to the Lord, went around with the Lord, and we see her again and again in the Gospels. What a devotion. One of the ways that we know that she was devoted in the Lord is by giving to the Lord of her substance. She didn't care. Oh, this is my finances. This is my money. These are the things that belong to me. She realized, no, all of these things are blessings from the Lord. I will bless God with all these things that He has provided for me. And I will give to Him. What a privilege it is, she would say, that I can follow the Savior. I can be a blessing to His life. And I can support Him, minister to Him, serve Him. She was sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so her purse was open to the Savior. What will the Lord need now? Can I do something about it? Can I provide? Why was she thinking like that? It's because the Lord had saved her. The Lord had worked in her. She had now seen a beauty in Jesus Christ that she had not seen before. So, as one modern commentator puts it like this, he said, in fact, the truth is, our bank account statements speak about our priorities in life. Here was a woman who was giving to the Lord of her substance. Where there was need, she would give. And this was something that had happened, not because the Lord was asking her, not because the Lord was saying, you have to give this amount or else you can't follow me. But every time she saw she could serve in some way, she did, and she gave. But another way of her devotion was simply her following. When you follow someone, you don't drift away into some other path. No, if you do that, you will lose that individual. But when you're following, you're always looking. You're always listening. You're always watching to see the direction in which he or she is going. And so you're always concerned. I'm sure you've all followed people before, not as stalking them, but maybe you have been following because you didn't know the address and you've followed them and you're watching. Will they use the indicator? Will they be turning to the left? Will they be going to the right? Will they be stopping here now? And you just copy them and you follow in that sense. What if you would drift away by yourself? You will be lost. You will lose your way and so on. But her devotion is seen by her following the Savior. She was there. It says that the 12 were with him. And then it says, and a certain woman. And they were also with him. They were ministering unto him of their substance. In John 19 and verse 25, we find that she had followed the Lord right to the end, even to Calvary, when Christ was crucified. It says in John 19, 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. That's the road that she had taken. She followed the Lord right to the end. She was not going to be distracted. Oh, she must have been tempted, like you and I would be tempted. She would have had to suffer certain things. And yet, she wouldn't. She might have said, well, I can't do this. This is not what normal people do. This is too extreme to do such a thing. Even the strict Pharisees don't do things like that. But she followed the Lord right to the end. She even followed the dead body of the Savior to his tomb and remained there. She was there waiting with another Mary. The record is given to us in Matthew 27. In other words, she went as far as was humanly possible. She followed him to the very end. Isn't this the will of the Lord Jesus Christ for all of us? Isn't this the will of the Lord for all of those who trust in him? So this is a challenge. As a Christian, if you are a child of God, are you following him? Are there things niggling in your mind now? And you know there are issues. And maybe tonight God is speaking to you. Maybe tonight God is saying, look at that, that matter. You are wavering, you are doing these things, and you know they are not right. But you're doing it because of this, because of that. Stop, the Lord is saying. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He wants us to follow Him single-mindedly and determinately, as this woman had. You see, the Lord had saved her, and she wouldn't then allow anything else to come in her way, and so she followed Him right to the end. The Lord said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This is what it means to be a follower. This is what it means to live out that name of a believer in Christ. With Mary, it wasn't about convenience, because the path that Jesus Christ took was not a convenient path. You have to see the life of Christ. It wasn't convenient. It wasn't easy. It was a sacrificial life. And then to see that the Savior died, to see that He was taken down from the cross, to see that He was taken and then put in a tomb like that. And yet she stayed. She was waiting. And the Lord blessed her with His presence. Her devotion is seen in her faithfulness to the Lord. She was faithful to Him, even when others walked away from the Lord. What is the Lord speaking to you, my friends, this evening? What level of devotion do we have for the Savior? How are we faithful to Him? How do we use our funds and our resources? And I'm not talking about finances here alone. I'm talking about your talents, your time, your gifts. The way you can serve other people. But what about serving the Lord? The way you can come to pray with God's people and seek every day in your home the Savior for His blessing and the work of God for other people in their soul. Where does this message find you then? Really, I've spoken about three possible places any one of us could be in. There's a place of a person who might be lost here tonight. And she had been lost. She had seven devils in her. But what the Lord had done, she was delivered. The demons went out. And that's maybe for you. And if you are converted and saved, are you found in a place of following the Savior? That is what He desires, us to follow Him. And then, if you are following Him, are you faithful and rejoicing, thankful of this wonderful privilege, and for the rest of your journey to the end, following the Savior? Well, may God speak to each one of us then. For Christ's sake, amen.